Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie on a rough Tuesday morning, to say the least. A 1-1 Eagles team that obviously should have gotten the win last night and made it 2-0. For more on the game, for more on the season, for more on all of it, let's talk to Brandon Graham, who joins us every single Tuesday at this time, brought to us by Primo Hoagies. Be like Brandon Graham. Make your game day epic with party trays from Primo Hoagies, online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie, it's a Primo. It's a tough morning for Brandon Graham, who has always played his heart out last night, came up short in the end with the loss. Brandon, I know that you have been through, I mean, listen, 15 years, you've played more Eagles games than anyone ever. You have been through about every kind of win and every kind of loss a player can go through in a career. That one has to be particularly stinging, knowing that it was right there to be won and you guys dropped it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that still stick out to me is Carolina 17-0 going into the fourth, and they come back and beat us. It's one of those things, man. It sucked. I still ain't really had a chance to really process everything. I know for us as a group, we all was talking about just things that we know we need to work on. And now this is what we got to work on. And it's two games in. We 1-1. I didn't like that we got ran on, like you said. It's just like it was one of those days where we bowled up in the end, where we kept them out the end zone as much, you know, and then we just dropped the ball at the end, especially in a moment where as a defense, you know, you want to be the last one on there to help the offense get the win, secure the win. And we can toss so many different things out there, but the main line for us is we can't have 150-yard rushing, you know, in no games and think we're going to win and as a defense. And that's just us challenging ourselves. And so I know what we need to work on, and I know how it goes here in Philly. It's a tough day. You know, a lot of people burning right now, and I get it, you know. But I know that this team, I believe in this team, man. It's about getting everything together. I mean, I know all these guys that you was naming, like Jordan Davis and them guys. I mean, I know they take it personal because last night, you know, just talking to JD, you know, I know that he like, man, my bad, I got you. You know, a lot of people, you know, they playing. Kudos to the Falcons. They came out and they took care of business and they took care of the opportunities when it came.
How does this team generate more pass rush?
We're going to get better as we keep going. I feel like, you know, we all working. It just, yeah, you know, suck when you see, you know, us not getting there. And then, of course, I just know how this thing go. And when it start, hopefully it don't stop.
Brandon, after the game, yeah, after the game.
Which means they come in bunches.
Sometimes they don't.
The floodgates open, they and open. It's like, holy cow, why were we so worried?
Yeah. Well,
we just got 9 sacks today.
So BG, after the game, Josh Sweat said this to the reporters. Mm-hmm. He was asked about the pass rush. He said, "We're not on the same page, man. We got to be together. Ain't on the same page. That's all I can say. We're just not rushing together."
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's alluding to the way stunts are going and you guys are not synced up, or is there something more than just that? What do you think he's referencing?
Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I do understand that you got to rush together for sure, especially if you're doing stunts in the middle. And I know we did some stunts in the middle, and we left that B gap a little open for him to throw and be able to see. We knew where he was going to be, and you know, we just didn't execute the plan because we knew. We know he got a shallow. He's not dropping back 8 yards. He's sitting right there, yeah, in his cup, and we had to put pressure on him, and we just didn't do that up front. You know, no excuses, but I know that today, tomorrow, you know, we going to work because we know what's ahead of us. We still believe in this team, and, you know, it was good to hear Jalen, you know, rah-rah afterwards, like, because he know we dropped the ball on this one. After all was – bad, you know, one catch, yes, Saquon. I love that they taking accountability, but we got to do better together. You know what I'm saying? Like, compliment each other, compliment each other really good as far as the defense need to go out there and just make that stop.
Brandon Graham in studio as he is every Tuesday with us, 7:40 to 8:10, typically 2 days after the game, but obviously, and BG, we appreciate you coming in. Quick turnaround from last night right in here. And let me say this, my man. We know, and we knew this when we, you know, said let's do this segment. There's going to be days things are great.
Oh, I know.
You know. And I'm watching you 25 minutes ago while John and I are blasting the team and you're listening to the other room. And just know this, my man. I appreciate you being here and being who you are because, you know, we keep it real as we see it. Mm-hmm. You keep it real as you see it. And look, we're going to have the ups and downs, obviously, the whole season. That's common. All right.
And I hope to burst your bubble. You know what I'm saying?
I
know you hope, too.
I do hope.
I know. I get it. And that's the biggest thing, man. It's like, it's what we going to do. It's two games in. What we got? Seven. What we at?
15 to go.
15 because we ain't at 18 yet.
The new math is weird. I know.
But, but you know what? It's about getting hot and making sure that we on the same page. Yeah. Like, I give it to Sweaty. All right. If you feel like that, well, let's go ahead. Let's work then. Let's work a little more. Let's do a little extra. Because, you know, at the end of the day, Sweaty about challenging us and challenging us as a group because I know it's going to start with him because he worked every day. I see him. I know he was frustrated yesterday because, you know, we just let it slip, man. It burnt us too because it's like, oh, my goodness. They just took that rug up under us real quick.
Brandon, here's what I know is on the minds of a lot of fans. It's on my mind, and I guarantee it's on the minds of millions of people. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are wondering, are they good enough? Like we've seen it in your career, just and some of this because they weren't good enough early. Some like Nnamdi Asamoah had been great, but wasn't good here. Mm-hmm. Guy like Marcus Smith was never good here. You know, some guys just aren't good enough. And one of the things we're wondering about the guys up front, not you at this stage. I mean, you are still doing your thing, and frankly, shouldn't have to play as much as you are, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because others should have to play more and carry the flag at this stage. But I mean, we're wondering whether Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis. And Josh Sweat, if they're good enough.
Bryce Huff.
We'll find out.
Are the players looking for answers right now? We as fans, we're looking, you know, we're questioning everything. Mm-hmm. Where are the players questioning?
Well, the players questioning us together. Like Sweaty said, hey, this us together. Because if we out there running around and we out there being where we're supposed to be and making our plays when it come, I know that it makes everybody look good. It makes everybody, you know, just be in a position to when that play come to them, they make it, you know.
Yeah.
And of course, the running game, we wasn't making it. And that starts with us always. It's the attitude you got to have. Of course, they had a good little scheme going. They were doing some stuff, but I know that for us. We can't allow that and plan on trying to win this year because you got to be able to stop the run, especially if we're talking about going to the playoffs. You got to be able to just do your thing. And I know we're building this thing, and we're building. And I believe in this team, and I know we're going to go out and put a better showing when our back's up against the wall like it is right now because everybody is – we all figuring out our identity as a team. And these last two games, yeah, we got one against the Packers, but the running game, it was the same. Mm-hmm. And then this one was probably a little worse because we was at home and it was on Monday night. It's prime
and,
time.
And you had it.
And we had it.
You had
and
it.
We had it.
You had
know?
It.
And so all I could say is, Philly, don't give up on this, baby, because we working every day, and I promise you, every ounce that I got, I'm going to make sure I try to pour into them guys like I've been doing and just allowing them. I love that we got some adversity early. Now I'm going to see how we respond, and that's just how this game go. It's how you respond and how you gonna come to practice. More focus, more detail, all that stuff. Like, you will really tell how much it means to somebody through some adversity, so I'm excited to see how we bounce back against a great Saints team who's really hot right now. And if we're gonna stop Alvin Kamara, we gotta do it together.
We have a million topics and questions for Brandon, and we'll get through as many as we can today. Again, BG with us for the next 20 minutes. Let's mix in some phone calls as well and talk to Mike right now. Mike, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, BG.
Morning.
Okay, so Joe, I am one of those 14-3 guys, and I'm not getting off that hill just yet.
No shot. No shot.
It don't look good. I'm with you. It don't look good. But you know what? Listen, Saquon makes that catch. The whole narrative today is completely different. Okay, we're talking about aggressive.
See, let me just tell you, Mike. I disagree, and here's why. Yes, the record's different as Saquon catches it 2-0, but I would still be saying the same things about five or seven different big issues, namely pass rush, stopping the run, Jalen leaving the pocket prematurely, Jalen, God bless him, running as much as he did to be as effective as he was, but that is not sustainable for the next 19 games without injury. I mean, he took some big hits and big risks, and it worked last night to achieve as much as he and they could offensively, but that is risky. Like, there are some things that have got to get better, in my opinion, for this to be a good football team. And I hate to say this with Brandon sitting right here in front of me, but I'm telling you, Mike, what I saw last night, and I go back to week one as well, it just looks like an average team to me.
So, Joe, you're right. Every single thing you said there, it would be pinpointed, would still be highlighted and discussed. However, there would be the caveat behind it of like, hey, we're 2-0, we could still figure it out. Like, it would be a lot lighter. Right, we would still be talking about, like, you know, that
it would be a look. It would be a different feel. It'd be like the first 11 games last year when it was like the Eagles won. Yeah, that's great, but man, it kind of looks weird. Mike, let me ask you. Mike, let me ask you a question. Are you past the point of believing that Hurts and Goddard will ever get on the same page? So, I mean, there's no A.J. Brown.
Why would you be?
I mean,
that's absurd.
John, Goddard is at the point, he's around the point in his career when Ertz caught 118 passes one year. And I'm not saying I'm ripping Goddard. Just, those two just don't connect out there.
You got a 25, 26-year-old quarterback, 25, 26-year-old tight end. They're growing together.
Let me tell you this,
they're
Sean.
Learning together
is
they go.
Goddard is closer.
They are very talented.
Goddard is closer to decline than
Dallas
ascension.
Goddard is 29, just for those. I just looked it up.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I thought there'd be a lot. I'm just telling you, by this.
Young enough that it feels pretty good that he's got a lot moving forward.
Look, maybe you get another 2 years, but I mean, James, why don't Goddard and Hurts connect? You have any explanation for this?
No, it's a great point. Like last night.
No A.J. Brown.
Yes,
right?
He had 4 for 31 or something, and a few of them happened late. Like, yeah. You have one catch until the fourth quarter. Like, no, I mean, like, you have to figure that out. And to your point, look, I think Dallas Goddard's a really good player. I just don't think he's a top five tight end like we build him to be.
I don't either.
He's just not. It is what it is.
Next week, if he catches 10 balls
he
for 150 yards.
But no chance, John. It's never happened in his career. He's never done that.
The way that these passes work, the way that the offense works, it's not designed, okay, AJ, we're throwing you the ball on this play. We've got a whole progression. It might be you. It might be you. It might be you. It might be you. It depends on what the defense does.
Yeah, but over hundreds
Everyone
of plays.
Is trying to
thousands
take him
in a season. When you have 1,000 plays in a season, I expect him at this point to get more than 50 catches in a year. I just do.
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, let's go inside after the game. So you referenced, you know, Jalen breaking the team down. That news came out post game. He didn't want to talk a ton about it. You could tell post game, but. What was it like in the locker room when you got, before the reporters get in there, it's just you guys and the coaches, and then eventually you guys breaking it down. What did you feel in that room after that stinging loss?
I felt everybody was stung. You know, everybody wanted to just get out this week already. Didn't want to deal with what was about to come as far as, you know, what we talking about here. Everybody knew it was to be on Monday night and to get, as a defense, I know I'm just speaking as a defense, mm-hmm. to get ran on, it was like, that's unacceptable. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I feel like we better in the pass game. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's like, we got to match. It got to match both ways. But only way it happens is if we stay together, which I was saying, like, right now, and we keep building this thing, because I believe in our coordinator. I believe in our team. I believe we got the right guys here to do it. But we got to. We can't talk about it. We got to do it.
Yeah.
And so I felt that vibe last night, because when Jalen spoke up, he always speak up, but it's not like that fire that he had last night. And it was just like, y'all boys, don't keep y'all head down. Put that head up, because at the end of the day, we own what it is that we do. and then we do something about it. And that's pretty much was the message. Like, what we going to do about it? Because now this is our first little bit of adversity. Yeah, everybody, this team is, look at the roster, look at that. That don't mean nothing, as we know in this league. You know it's about a togetherness. And that's what I say, like, you see, when you watch games and you see different games, I watch the togetherness on the sideline. You watch you yelling at each other. All that little stuff matter. I'm telling you, especially in the heat of the moment. And if we could just make sure we block the noise out. You know I got to deal with this every week, and I got to hear y'all talking, but I try not to. Last night, I ain't turned no TV on. I'm just ready to get back to work, and because I want y'all to be able to talk in a better way, and of course, and see us grow as a team, and actually, you know, see us get stronger as the year go. And then, so as we keep going in this season, you know, things, the narrative will change for us. But right now, this is what it is, and I'm gonna be a realist about it. We it's unacceptable for us to allow them to run that much on us, so we're gonna do something about it.
Brandon, there was a point in time when Jim Schwartz was our defensive coordinator here, and we were doing the midday show here, where it was, man, we were number one in the league at stopping the run. It was a point of pride every year.
Yes,
we were, you know, allowing 60 yards, 70 yards a game. What is the major difference? I mean, you were here for that. Mm-hmm. You've been part of this too.
Yeah.
What's the big difference? It can't be that complicated. In my mind, it really is attitude above all else. Mm-hmm. But what else is there, and what do you guys need to do to get back to being number? You guys were number one in the NFL. It was like every year.
Well, top 5 or 10 for many years there. Brandon, go ahead. What do you think of that?
You know, we was talking about this on the side. Not the side, but just like before. On how Jim packed the box, ate in the box, and then he leave his corners out on the island. And during them times, we didn't have the type of corners we have now. And of course, you know, it's scheme and all this stuff. And Vic do it the way he do it. I just know that when you look back at our film, he load the box. We run in cover 3. You got the safety down, Malcolm Jenkins, and they shooting the gaps. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's different on how they track it, you know, as linebackers than what we used to do, you know, with gym stuff. We downhill first, you know, and what we get caught sometimes on the play action. Mm-hmm. But when you got them corners that we got, like, you know, we got good corners and safeties and all that stuff. I just felt like at that year of the Super Bowl, we played together. We complimented them because we was hitting the quarterback. We was, you know, affecting throws, especially on just plays where maybe he was open, but he couldn't get it there because we hit him. You know what I'm saying? So we complimented each other well because that goes together. And we going to get there. And I really do feel like it's happening because of how we practice and what we doing. Like, Coach talk about all that little details, all the stuff, all the time. He calling people out. He holding them accountable. Nah, this is a little adversity that we going through. We lost. We dropped the ball on this one. Even after 150 yards rushing on us. It's like, but – I know for Jim, we loaded that box, you know, during that time, and then he left the corners out on one-on-ones. Yeah. You know, and sometimes we lose the 50-50, but for the most part, we tried to make sure that was a prideful thing.
And John, I'll say, Brandon's phone.
Again, let me turn this. It's 8 o'clock.
Ring,
it's
my jar. 8 o'clock. Brandon's phone going off. By the way, John, I'll add this because obviously you asked that to BJ, and but John, there's another big difference from that group. You had Fletcher Cox as a borderline Hall of Fame player on that team.
Yeah, he
and the bottom line is Howie Roseman invested in Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, not necessarily to be at the same level. I mean, you hope so, but like to be better than this. And you guys know what I said about Jalen Carter coming into the year. I don't view his role as, okay, Jalen Carter, what's your job? I'm a defensive tackle for the Eagles. Then that's not his job. Jalen Carter's job is to be a dominator. That's his job. That's what this defense requires. And 2 weeks into his second season, and I remember Fletcher Cox in his second season. He was a dominator. This team needs Jalen Carter to become a dominator quick. Let's go to the phones. Chuck in Mount Airy. Well, we got Brandon Graham here with us. Good morning, Chuck.
Hey, what's good morning? Good morning. What's up? What's going on? Hey, BJ, what's up, man? Hey,
what up, Chuck?
BJ, you said this last year, man.
I mean,
when we was going through this slump, I know you're supposed to come on here and say all the right things, man. But, you know, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, man. You know, Howie Roseman dropped the ball, man, in Howie season. You know, in a perfect pass rusher walk out the door just because he was disgruntled about his contract, something that could have been worked out. He dropped the ball, man.
Well, Chuck, you got to say this. I think Howie made mistakes, but Chuck, we got to say this in Howie's defense. A situation that maybe could have been worked out. I mean, the bottom line is the one main thing we don't know about the Reddick situation and may never find out, what is his demand? What has he said no to the Eagles and the Jets? Has he turned down $60 million? Did he turn down $80 million? Did he turn down $100 million? I have no idea. Obviously, we know two organizations think he's asking for too much. And there is a point where you shouldn't give him too much. Now, in the absence of that information, it's hard to fully assess. But the fact that he's not playing for the Jets tells me it probably was not going to get worked out here, because Reddick probably had a demand that would make most NFL teams uncomfortable, is my guess.
I hear you, Joe. I just think that something could have been worked out behind the scenes. Got his hometown. He wanted to be here. You know what I mean? You could tell. And they just let him walk out the door, man. They traded him for this guy. You know, basically, it was essentially a trade on trade. You're bringing in Bryce Huffy. He can't give you nothing. And Josh Sweat told me we got to pressure the quarterback all together. I've never heard nothing like that in my life. I understand stunts and things of that nature, but you know, at the end of the day, you just got to get your ass to the quarterback, man. You know what I mean? And then when I look at the quarterback, our quarterback, Jalen Hurts, right? I'm just saying, he doesn't move the needle for me. You know, I know he's missing AJ Brown yesterday, and that's a huge
man.
Loss.
You said Chuck.
He doesn't
signed Chuck today.
I don't care what he does, not move the needle for me. You know what I'm saying? You know, he make boneheaded decisions, and he had opportunity. All you had to do is get a field goal range.
Well, Chuck,
he made a mistake.
Right, Chuck,
actually,
he made
a couple major mistakes the first couple weeks that really are tough to get around. But he also looked so much more explosive yesterday.
He did.
Put to rest those who were fearing for his athleticism. Joe,
well, I won't say put it to rest, but I'd say he certainly quelled that talk to an extent.
He looked so much better.
He looked more spry.
Oh, man.
You know what's a moment we haven't even talked about from last night? Because, look, Jalen, I thought, played a poor first half and a pretty darn good second half, obviously until the end with the pick when I think he pressed too much. But I give him a lot of credit for his improvement last night. I was very disappointed in the first half when I thought he was leaking the pocket to the right, way too often, unnecessarily. But there's a moment we haven't even addressed. Troy Aikman, straight up, in the broadcast, on the ball that Devontae was not able to corral because that defender hit him. I mean, Aikman's like, you put that ball more to the pylon, that's 7 points.
Well, and he kind of lofted it, too. It was like, you got to zip that ball in there. He allowed the defender to get there right at the perfect time.
James, that's a 4-point difference in a game that you lost by 1 point.
Aikman called it out immediately. He's like, you can't lob that in there. He's like, you know, what are you doing?
Put it to the pylon. Devontae catches it smooth.
That's an experience thing.
Or it's just an accuracy thing.
It is more reps, more. Yeah, it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah,
but it is more experience yields better results with quarterbacks for that reason.
Let's get to Saquon. I don't want to lose track of this. Obviously, we're focusing a lot with BG here on the defense. But let's also talk about, it's not quite the end, but it basically would have been the end if Saquon had held on the ball. I thought he otherwise played a great game. He's had an incredible start the first two games. I mean, let's put it this way. The first, let me do quick math, 60 plus 58, 118 minutes have been phenomenal from Saquon Barkley. Phenomenal. And then he dropped the ball. Let's listen to Saquon after the game on the drop. I do appreciate, look, I'll always appreciate the way Mitch handled game 6 and 93 after the game. I mean, he manned up. He gave up the home run to Joe Carter. No one ever stood there and answered all the questions in a tougher spot than Mitch Williams in Toronto that night in October of 93. Saquon, not as tough a spot, but a tough spot. He cost them the game by dropping the ball. I greatly appreciate the way Saquon addressed things last night.
Yeah, I can sit here and, you know, complain and be upset about it, or I could be a professional athlete and go back to the drawing board and, you know, take the lick, move on, and get better from it. I made that play multiple times. I missed that play before, too, meaning the situation. That happens part of the game, and I just got to be better. I let my team down. I got a man up to it. I got on it, which I'm doing, and I can promise those guys in his locker room that I'll be better from it.
And, you know, that's really one of many times last night he said the same thing. He was asked the same question a bunch of different ways. He probably answered it 4 or 5 different times. Similar type of answers. You could not have stood there and took more ownership than he did after the game, and I appreciate that. And he's a great player.
It was awesome to hear him say that. It didn't make it any easier to deal with the fact that that, you know, would have changed.
Well, at
the
least
outcome.
It's not Ben Simmons, Sean, because think about how Ben Simmons still acts like he didn't do something wrong by passing the ball when Trae Young was about to.
He would have blamed someone sitting on the bench. He's like, he looked at me. He looked at me while I was passing the ball. How could I be supposed to make a pass like that?
Totally.
I'm sure his teammates appreciate the straightforward, just honesty.
I get it.
You know, we were talking about our inability to stop the run yesterday, 150 plus yards, Brandon. Mm-hmm. We were also talking about, you know, prior to that game, we got a linebacker in Devin White that we don't really understand what's going on with his injury situation, with his emotional situation. Devin White, does he make a difference with our ability to stop the run in that game against the Falcons?
Well, I guess, you know, that's a question for coaching them. Like, I don't really know the business, you know, on what they doing, you know what I'm saying? But if he hurting, you know what I'm saying, I understand. I definitely understand. You know, we just need to make sure that we all are together. That's really all it is. Like, I ain't in panic mode. I just know that it's a build. Just like last year, who would have thought Chiefs came through and did what they did, you know what I'm saying? Off a year, they don't have receivers. They ain't got that. They ain't got everybody that, you know, that you need. I'm not just saying we the Chiefs, but I'm just saying, like, everybody was trying to worry about what we don't got or what they seeing, but I feel like people going to get better, and people got pride. Us as men, you know, I know we got pride, and if we got some pride about ourselves, we're going to go out here this next game and make sure that don't beat us as far as running game. You know what I'm saying? And then we just keep building. And it's attitude, like you said. And so how is our attitude moving forward? Because that's all we could do. I'm glad we got 15 more opportunities, 16 more, or whatever it is. And I'm happy that this not the end all be all, because I don't want to end like this. I don't want the season to end like how it ended last year, for sure. But I'm glad that we got some stuff to work on. And that's what you want to see as a team. We ain't do no preseason, no excuses, but we knew going into these first two, we got one, we dropped one, and now it's like, let's go out there and let's put it all together. You know, and let's give ourselves the best shot to win, other than, you know, losing it ourselves.
Brandon Graham here in Studio BG. You were just talking big picture there with that answer. Let's go to a small picture moment, the face mask.
Man.
So is that bad luck? Like, you're reaching out to try to grab a guy. I have always, as a fan, given grace to players when I know they're trying to reach and make a tackle and they just happen to grab the face area. Is that bad luck?
It sucked because I'm calling. I'm saying, hey, here come the screen. And you see me run right to it. And the first, he just kind of came in. I see him. He juked. And my hand just went, you know, right across his face. You know, I let it go as soon as I felt him. But it's just.
Well, you kind of tugged it for a second.
Yeah, because.
You gave it a tug for a second.
I did. And I'm like, oh, because I'm trying to grab him.
Yeah, you're playing football.
You know, but, I mean, people can say what they want. If you ain't never played, you don't understand. Like, but I don't make excuses. I did a play. I made a mistake. That fine is coming. It's all good. You know what I'm saying? I tried to own it. We stopped them and held them to three. Put a little pressure on them on the last down to help. You know, and so I felt when we make mistakes, we want to make another play so that we can, you know, make up for what we did for the team or hurt the team. So that's my mindset. I mean, I ain't got no excuses for that. He just was right there, and, man, I caught him. And, you know, my teammates had my back on that drive. We end up holding them to three. And, man, I'm just happy we got out of there.
Well, Brandon, look, man, two things. Number one, we wish you, you know, all the best luck in the world. Another game in 5 days. That's an incredible quick turnaround. Mm-hmm. Number two, and hopefully I'm only saying this to you one time this year, nine times this year. But we appreciate the way you handle it after loss. We know the nature of these conversations are different after loss. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate the way you handle it. And please know, both from us and I know the callers, I mean, you know, and you players know, we want you to win. And we get frustrated when think it should have been a W and wasn't.
For sure. And, you know, just to respond to Chuck, hey, Chuck, I got you. You know, you don't want to hear the same stuff this year. I got you. Who want to keep saying the same stuff? I want my words to at least come out and be like, see, that's what I'm talking about. But we're going to sign Chuck to a 10-day, too, since he, you know, can get back. So, hey, Chuck, I appreciate your love, man. I know that's all passion. I know you still ain't processed everything, too. Everybody hurting, too. But we're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. And, man, all I can say is we got some pride about us, and I know we're going to get it right. I know Saquon going to make the play the next time. I know we're going to not give up 150-something yards. I ain't going to guarantee. I'm going to just say I can promise you we're going to go out there and work our butt off like we do, and we're going to put a better show on.
All right, Brandon, good luck in New Orleans, pal. Thanks. All right, well, we wish under different circumstances we were here on a Tuesday morning with a 2-0 team, but we know what just happened. Last night, I mean, it's less than, God, it's still only like 9 hours since the game ended or whatever, but maybe 10 hours. All right, so we'll take your reaction with all. Let me just say this and then write to the phones, because I do want to get a lot of calls this segment, especially with Ray coming up later in the hour. Ray Dittinger, that is. My biggest takeaway from last night's game is I just don't think the Eagles are that good. I actually think there's a really good chance they're just an average football team, and that pains me because I was excited for this year, and I picked them to go 11-6. I see a lot of problems. I see a lot of problems. Now, we'll take your reaction, 215-592-9494. And I also feel, you know, I would have said that even if they had won last night. Now, they lost, and to me, they lost for three primary reasons. Number one, and you can sequence these however you want, but number one, weak defensive personnel assembled by Howie Roseman. Huff, Sweat, Nolan Smith, Jordan Davis, just it's not good enough. Number two... Too many blown opportunities in the first half where they didn't score. I mean, you gotta do more than score. What did they score in the first half? 7 points, something like that. I thought Jalen leaked the pocket too much. Obviously, you got the guys down the field, the offensive linemen down the field. You know, they've got to get on the same page on that. That does go to coaching, and if it does, I guess that's got to be Kellen Moore and Stoutland. I mean, if Sirianni is not part of the offense, so to speak, then Kellen Moore and Stoutland.
Sirianni did not like the questions about the play calling.
No, he didn't. He didn't, and he's going to have to own them.
I'm the head coach.
Yeah, he's going to have to own that reality. And number three, Saquon dropped the ball. I mean, those are, to me, the three main reasons why they lost the game. Let's get a lot of calls in here. Ray Dittinger joins us in 10 minutes. Ed right now. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Yeah, we're frustrated, man.
Yeah, so you guys probably know I'm one of the biggest Jordan Davis fans out there. He did
still
not play well last night. Having said all that, he was, you know, he made a play, he made a couple plays in the run game, had the pass defense. But I just, you know, I'm just thinking you need to put him on your Jalen Carter and everybody in that room and make them watch the 96 Florida State game where Florida State abused Danny Werfel, knocked him out of the game. That's sort of like the venom and vitriol that I need to see them play with. They just didn't have that last night. So
29 snaps, Ed. He had 29 snaps. Now, do you think that was because his coaches didn't feel he was capable of giving them more, or he was exhausted to where he was giving them less than what they'd hoped?
Yeah, I mean,
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Not excusing his, you know, lack of, you know, playmaking, but, you know, with a guy that big, you know, and he's occupying two blockers at once, you know, other guys need to fill gaps.
Sometimes.
Plays. Yeah, that's a theory, but I think it's more of a theory than a reality. I just don't think Jordan Davis is that good. I mean, I just don't. Look, we've seen guys, and Brandon Graham is a great example, struggled early, had magnificent career, or struggled early and had, you know, pretty good career, like Aguilar, pretty good career. I mean, Aguilar's still playing. It's his 10th year of pro football. Good for him. I'm just telling you, Jordan Davis, to me, doesn't look like... Like, you see Quinyon Mitchell, you say, that's a baller. That's a baller. I look at Jordan Davis.
He belongs.
Jordan Davis ain't a baller. Right?
I don't... Right. Jordan Davis...
I'll answer that for you. You are correct, Joe.
Jordan Davis...
And Nolan Smith
is. I thought it was a rhetorical question. I'm like,
I know, but nobody
here
was talking, so I felt like he needed an answer.
I appreciate that. And about Nolan Smith? Guys, here's the thing. Here's the one thing Nolan Smith is really lucky about. Seltzer, take a guess. What is Nolan Smith lucky about?
That Jalen Carter was a first-round pick the same year as
correct!
Him.
Correct!
Yep.
That is so amazing you got that right. If Nolan Smith was the only player picked in that draft in the first round by the Eagles, we would talk about him more. He was kind of like a bonus.
Yes.
But he was a first-round pick, and he's doing nothing. I mean, nothing.
Is he doing less than Bryce Huff?
I don't know, Ray. It's the same thing. I have no idea. I see nothing from both of them.
Kyle Hamilton was taken. Remember, Kyle Hamilton was on the board. Kyle Hamilton was an all-pro last year.
Oh, he's fantastic.
At a position of need at the time.
Safety.
We desperately needed
safety
a safety.
Position.
That's right.
Jordan Davis still can't get past the 20s in terms of the snap count. That is after we were told this year would be, hey, he's in shape. We've focused all offseason on getting him in shape so he can actually play more snaps and shut down the run. Like, that is his purpose. He's going to be great at it. And he wasn't great at it. And he couldn't do more than 29 snaps.
Well, and he wasn't effective in those 29 snaps.
Exactly.
You know? All right, I want to get to that audio.
Your glasses are opaque.
I know, man.
His glasses, there is no way you can see through those lenses. There's no light that gets through.
They're dirty. They're dirty glasses.
You know you can clean them.
I'm not in the mood.
I don't know that he can clean those.
My heart is hurting from last night. All right? Wechter, clean the glass. No, it's all right. All right, let's get to some audio. Sirianni, and then I'm going to play something to Jalen Hurts. Sirianni, after the game, as Reed just referenced, had no interest, none, zero, in really addressing a question that wasn't even fully asked. I think he kind of cut the guy off, if I remember.
He did.
So listen to this, and then I'll tell you what I think the intent of the question was and how Sirianni got out of it by cutting the guy off.
Clarify on the calls, though. Kellen's making, you know, that
Kellen's
pass,
the offense
that
coordinator
pass,
that makes,
right,
so. Kellen's the offense coordinator makes the calls, yeah, if you're trying to stir that up.
Rule him on those calls.
Yeah, I'm the head coach.
Okay.
All right, here's the question I would guess the reporter was trying to get to. Nick, do you have the authority to overrule your play caller? Like, for instance, 3rd and 3.
I think he was a different question.
What do you think
I
it
think
was?
He was going to say, do you agree with the calls
okay,
that Kellen
could be.
Made? That's what I thought. But it could be yours, too. But mine was he was going to ask him, that's do you agree with the calls yeah. that Kellen
James,
made?
James, let me ask you a question. Does Sirianni have the authority from Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie to overrule a Kellen Moore play? Got to do it fast.
No.
You
no.
think he does not have
I think
that authority?
Well, I think I've said this from the beginning. I thought they gave Kellen Moore the offense. Everything we've heard since then, that Nick has said it, it's Kellen Moore's offense. And I think that's why he was so bristly there, because he's like, listen, I took the heat for this in the past. This isn't my thing anymore. Like, ask Kellen about it. I'm sorry. It's not my play call. If you guys are going to do the what do you do here thing to me,
right.
then I'm gonna say go talk to Kellen about that, and I don't blame him.
Wow.
I do kind of
blame him. I think you need to fall on your sword a little better than this, man.
Well, wow. Look, I can understand why he wouldn't want to address it. It's like your pants have been stripped from you and you're standing there naked, so it can't be comfortable. But, I mean... Like,
but this is what he does best.
All right.
Swallow his pride and just roll with whatever they put in front of him.
I know. Ray did injure in 5 minutes. I want to play one more piece of audio. I thought Jalen handled things really well after the game, for the most part. I thought he said a lot of good stuff post-game that was, you know, reasonable and good, okay? But there was one answer that he gave post-game that I will just say I was not in the mood for, okay? We got, like, Yoda-isms, and I wasn't in the mood for it. Here's Jalen after that. This is an interesting question, and listen to his answer, and you assess.
Adversity was, you know, bound to hit at some point this season. How much time did you spend in the offseason kind of thinking about that and how to handle it now that it's here? You know, what's the key?
There's no secret to it. There's no secret ingredient to it. It's just a matter of, am I going to learn from it, and am I going to get better from it? You know, there is. I said this before, and I'll say it again. There's no difference between, you know, the joys and the pains, and the wins and the losses. It's just a matter of if you learn from it.
So, look, the first part, I get it. I get when he says, I'm going to learn from it, you know, and get better. Like, that's great. Whether you win 50-0 or lose 50-0, anything you do in life, you want to learn from the experience. I won by 50, I lost by 50, and try to get better. Fine. I don't need the Yoda-ism where he says there's no difference between the joys and the pain, the wins and the losses.
Especially because it's not true. It's just flat out not true.
It's just
like,
not.
It's an asinine thing to say. I don't care if you're a player or a fan.
It's like
they're completely different.
Off.
No, John, this is the, like, way he thinks.
No, he's like, I'm learning from it, and that's the important takeaway, and it is important, but, like, there is a big difference between the joys of winning and the pain of losing.
And this is part of where Michael Barkan last night, and I think it was after, I'm pretty sure it was after the press conference, and I applaud Michael for, you know, the way he and that post-game show on TV on NBC Sports Philadelphia, he's like, enough with the little quips, just go win. Just go win.
Well, he needs to be better.
Oh my God!
To go win,
and he did better in the second half. But I mean, his first half was not great. And I'm telling you, this style with that many runs, while admirable and impressive,
it won't last 4 games.
He will not last. Yeah. You cannot take that many hits. You can't. You can't do it. Lenny and Conshohocken. Lenny, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
We're doing all right, Lenny.
All right. So I got 2 points and a question for you. One, I want to start with the offense. When you're down A.J. Brown, I'm blaming this on the coordinators. When you're down A.J. Brown, and I counted at least 9 times they used Devontae Smith as a decoy in the backfield when Saquon Barkley was there. It allows the defense to come up. There was no threat down the field. Did you see him as a decoy?
I did not. Is it a matter of motion and trying to get him a running start and try to confuse the defense? Because sometimes you'll line a guy up to confuse the defense. Like when you stack players against man, and the defenders
stack
don't.
Stack releases are awesome against man.
I don't know if that's kind of what it was. I didn't notice it, Lenny. I'll say this. They went to Devontae a lot. You can't go to him 45 times in a game. I mean, you can't. You know, I thought Devontae did his job. I thought they did their job going to him a lot. I'm sure they were trying to confuse defenders.
Well, so I agree with you with the motion, but I want you to go back and watch it, Joe.
Okay.
He was at least 6 or 7 yards off the line of scrimmage in motion, behind Saquon at least 4 or 5 yards. He was way off the line of scrimmage. And then the second thing, what happened to our linebacker blitzes from the Green Bay game?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We blitzed the linebackers so many times, and then we've just stopped.
Well, let me give you a possible answer. I don't know the answer, but I'm just going to guess. That Vic Fangio thought he had a much better chance to beat a young quarterback in Green Bay with blitzes than a very experienced quarterback in Atlanta who has seen blitzes a million times.
Quarterback sees it coming. This quarterback makes a call to cut off the A-gap. This quarterback says, gap, gap. Yeah. And the entire offensive line on the right side, they slant down. They spike down to cut off the A-gap. You can make that call. Or you can get rid of the ball. You can sight adjust with the wide receiver and just make sure you get it out of your hand quickly.
Now,
it seems like he does a lot of that.
Yeah. I will say this, though. And Lenny, good call, man. I appreciate the call. I will say this, though, in Lenny's defense with that question, so to speak. There's an argument that Fangio wasn't feeling the game. Like, my front four is not getting there, so now I got to help them. There is a legitimate argument for that.
I'm really troubled watching Bryce Huff try to do
John,
this. It's... Last night was beyond frustrating. I don't know if it was like, you know, the late night thing mixed with my frustration that we were not taking it to the Atlanta team the way I hoped.
Yep.
And I just had enough. And Bryce Huff looked hapless. Bryce Huff looked like an imposter out there. Like, what are you doing with your hands? It looks so weak the way you're trying to fend off that blocker. Shed that blocker.
I know,
get
John.
Rid of that blocker. Like, you need to get in the backfield. You need to get upfield. You need to fight.
John, he might not be good enough.
I know.
I mean, he really, 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 really. Ray, true or false, Danny Tartable had a better start to his Philadelphia sports career.
Two pitches?
He had four at-bats.
Yes.
He fouled a pitch off his foot.
Never played.
And he was out for the rest of the season. And that might have been a better start to a Philadelphia career than Bryce Huff.
That's amazing.
I mean, I'm serious. All right. Coming up in 1 minute, as he will be after every Eagles game this year the next day, Ray Dittinger. Ray Diddy in 1 minute's time.
Let's talk about our friends at Window Nation. Did you know most of your home's cold AC this summer leaked out through your old windows? With the nice weather this September, it's a great time to replace them with energy-efficient ones and save money on heat this winter. Who would I call? Window Nation.
Right now, buy two windows, get two free. There's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save big with no interest or payments for 24 months.
Why do I like Window Nation? Because they partner with the top manufacturers to build the best quality, affordable windows, and then they pass the savings on to you. Who else likes Window Nation? Over 20,000 customers who gave a 5-star review, including Albert, who says, great value, great product, and great customer service. Highly recommend it.
Stop paying more than you have to and hurry, because the sale ends September 30th. Schedule a fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, show to Cameron Jenrich. You were very fortunate as a show to have all the guests we have throughout the week. Typically, Ray Dittinger and Seth Joyner will join us on Mondays, but because it was a Monday night game, Seth today at 9 o'clock, Ray today, right now. Let's welcome the Diddy. Again, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, for the first time in 3 years, a regular appearance from Ray Dittinger here on WIP right after an Eagles game. He joins us right now. Ray, good morning, sir.
Morning, Joe. How are you doing?
I appreciate you, Ray. I just want to make sure you did say morning, right? Not good morning, because if so, that was a well done by you. It is a morning. It is not morning.
With a U. Yeah.
Oh man! All right.
It is. That's there's no way of talking around it. I mean, I know people would probably like to say today, oh, it's just week two of the season. It's a long season. They got a long. All that's true, but that is a game that if you're thinking about postseason and going somewhere and doing something in January, this was a game you could not afford to lose, especially in the manner in which they lost it. And now you got a situation that's always a tough situation for any team. A short week going on the road, you're going to New Orleans to take on the highest scoring offense in the league, and you're dragging the 32nd ranked defense behind you. That is not a good place to be.
It's bad. It is. Ray, I want to get to this point, and I'm curious if you agree or disagree. What bothered me the most last night is not that they lost and that they blew a game they should have won. What bothered me the most last night is that I think they look like an ordinary team, an average team. And I would have said that even if they closed that game out in the fourth quarter as they should have. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
No, I can't disagree with that. That was kind of the feeling that I had watching it. The offense played okay. Barkley certainly played well, and Hurts played, I thought, quite well. I mean, it just seemed. Remember last week we were talking about the fact that he looked slower and reluctant to run and all that. Well, that wasn't true last night. I mean, last night he ran the ball often and he ran the ball hard and he ran the ball well in clutch situations. So that was, to me, that was all positive. All the bad stuff was on the other side of the ball. And even though you were getting some red zone stops and even though you were getting some third down stops, there was just too much too many other plays that Atlanta was making, too many easy, they're picking up too much yardage. Your front seven wasn't giving you any real support there, and I thought they certainly looked at best average defensively. I thought the offense, especially considering A.J. Brown wasn't out there, I thought the offense looked okay, and I was actually pretty encouraged by what I saw from Hurts. But defensively, yeah, I thought defensively, even if they had come out of that game with a win, I think we still would have been sitting here this morning talking about the defense.
So when you say you're encouraged for the most part by what you saw from Jalen Hurts, we're close, right? I felt like there were times where there was a pocket where it was stepping up into that thing. He was delivering on time. It did look like there were steps taken in the right direction with our passing game. It just wasn't quite enough in the grand scheme of things to get us a win last night.
Yeah, that's sort of the way I saw it too. But I really thought that we said at the beginning of the year that the ultimate disposition of this season, where this season is going to go, is so much about the quarterback play. I mean, you can talk about this and you can talk about that and look at the team from a million different angles, but it all comes back to how he plays. And you know, my feeling was pretty much what it's been all along, is that they have an awful lot of offensive weapons. I mean, in terms of their offensive talent, I mean, they're as good or better than every team in the league. The one thing they have to get is good quarterback play and a quarterback to play mistake-free football, which, and I don't know that you can kill him for the last interception. I thought that he showed you that last night. And most of all, he showed you the kind of aggressiveness, willingness, and decisiveness to be able to make those runs, tuck the ball away and run the ball and pick you up big yards when you need them in clutch situations.
Yeah.
You know, that's something for this team to really get it together and have a good year. He has to be that player, and I think you saw that last night.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
But the defense, I mean, we could talk about that all morning. I mean, the defense certainly didn't hold up its end of the bargain.
You know, Ray, that Hurts point, I just want to circle back to it. So I agree for the most part with what you said on Hurts. Here's the part I disagree with, and I thought this might happen today. Because of how the game ended and how wild the fourth quarter was, and specifically the last 2 minutes, I think it's obscuring for a lot of people the reality of how much the Eagles left meat on the bone in the first half offensively. I thought Hurts was bad in the first half. Bad. I thought he again was leaving the pocket when he did not need to, and it resulted in drives ultimately not leading to points. What did you make of his first half?
Not great. Not great. But I certainly wouldn't say bad. To me, the thing that I took away from the first half, and I still feel today, was, you know, I thought the decision to go for it on fourth down on the second possession was just a mistake. I just did. I mean, and you know, it's easy to say now when you're looking back, you lose a 1-point game and you look at 3 points you left on the field. That's an easy second guess. You know, oh, yeah, we should have kicked the field goal. I was saying it at the moment. I mean, I was saying it at the moment. I said, you take the 3 points. Just take the 3 points, okay? Early in the game, give me the points.
Ray, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel that way, and I know there are all the analytics people out there that are going to run all kinds of numbers at me about the percent, the likelihood of converting that, and then convert if you convert that, then you convert it, and all of that stuff. I know, I've heard it all, but in that situation, early in the game, you're looking at a chip shot. Get the points, okay? Don't get cute. Get the points, and I said that when it happened. And, you know, ultimately it does come back and haunt you. But, I mean, it isn't just purely a second guess.
I understand.
And I know it's a reflection of the fact that, you know, I am very old school about this stuff. But when it's your second possession, you've driven it all the way down the field, you're right there. Take the three, okay? Take the three and be happy with it. I just thought that was too cute by half. And ultimately it does winds up coming back and biting you.
Ray, let's get to the two, because I thought that was the first of three major decisions made in the game on those types of things. Let's get to the two near the end of the game. I'm just curious your opinion. To throw the ball to Saquon Barkley, I had no problem with it. I would expect him to catch it. Ordinarily he would. A lot of people are up in arms that they took the risk of a pass that could lead to an incompletion and a stop in the clock. Are you okay with that decision, independent of knowing what the outcome will be?
No. I would have. Yeah, I mean, you can say, oh, yes, the safest pass play in the book, and it is, but it's still a pass play. I mean, in that situation, the other team's got no timeouts. Just run the ball. And I mean, yeah, should he have caught it? Absolutely. If you throw him that ball 100 times, he catches it 99. I mean, again, you're talking numbers, you're talking percentages, you're talking, you know, of course he's going to catch it. You expect him to catch it. Of course you expect him to catch it, but doesn't mean he's going to catch it. In that situation, you had the game completely in your hands. I mean, Atlanta was utterly helpless at that spot. You run the ball. Well, who knows? Maybe you run the ball and get the first down.
The game's over. Yeah. Yeah.
But if you throw it, there's always the chance that what could happen happens. And so, yeah, when I saw the snap and I saw him roll out, you see it unfolding and you're saying, well, this, yeah, he should certainly catch this, but he didn't.
And because he didn't,
you're sitting here 1-1.
Sure. No, that's right. If he catches the ball, the game's over. Ray, the next decision was the next play. Do you think Sirianni should have kicked the field goal as he did to go up sixth? Or did you feel a lack of confidence in the defense where you say, let's go for 4th-and-3 with 1:42 to go, try it again and try to end this game right here by getting a first down and being done?
No. I mean, I'm, again, kind of, you're talking to the guy that just 5 minutes ago was telling you I would have kicked field goal in the first period. So, I mean, I would have kicked it right there. I mean, I would have just played it by the book. But it was a whole succession of things. And I mean, you've rightly identified all of them. And we could discuss them forever, and it doesn't change the. I mean, this was about as bad a loss as you can imagine. It really was. I mean, there's no overstating it. I mean, it's your home opener, primetime TV. You got the stadium is completely rocking. You got an opponent coming in here off a really bad performance the week before, with a quarterback who, frankly, when he went back and looked at the tape. If you saw Kirk Cousins in the game against Pittsburgh, I mean, he literally looked like a guy playing on one leg. And even though I knew the Eagles had issues, I really didn't see any way they could lose this game. And certainly at the way it's ending, with them just driving down the field and bleeding the clock and Atlanta without a timeout, it looks like they're going to win the game. Don't look like world beaters, but it certainly looks like you're going to 2-0. And to let that one get away the way you let it get away is really rough. And, you know, and okay, here's where you are. But I think the one thing you can look at is, you know, now I think this is an early season gut check for this team.
Right.
It really is. I mean, you hate to get there this way, but this is going to be a real good tell this week to see how this team, A, comes back from an absolutely backbreaking loss, and B, prepares to go on the road in a short week to play a red-hot team with a very dangerous offense and with a defense right now that looks like it's got a lot of holes.
The New Orleans offense is so heavily run-based. It is so grounded. And I want to say Derek Carr threw, I don't know, like 16 passes or completed. It was just such a small number. We, on the other hand, Ray, are pounding the rock. And Saquon 2 weeks in a row now, has 26 touches per game. Like 26 touches week one, 26 touches week two. How sustainable is that? How do you feel about that number?
Well, you know, it's kind of what, well, I think last night it gets a little bit skewed because you don't have A.J. Brown. You know, I think if you have A.J. Brown in a lineup, maybe the workload isn't quite as great. But, you know, honestly, this is kind of what I thought it was going to be. I mean, when they made the commitment that they made to go out and get this guy and pay the price that they paid to get this guy, then you've made a very big commitment to him. And, you know, you look back at Kellen Moore. I mean, Kellen Moore, he was the play caller in Dallas in Zeke Elliott's big years. And to me, Zeke Elliott and Saquon Barkley are very much the same kind of player. And the offense, in a lot of ways, the offense is going to kind of have to run through him. So the play calling here doesn't surprise me. And if you look at the way Barkley has played, other than the drop last night, I mean, he's been everything you could have hoped he could have been. And I think he will continue to be down the road. But, yeah, I mean, it's a different offense, but I think that in many ways it looks like it's going to be a really good offense. But last night, when I went back and looked at the Atlanta Pittsburgh game, and I looked at the film and I looked at the numbers, I mean, we kept hearing last night about what a great offensive line the Atlanta Falcons have. I mean, they made that point over and over again, and I'm saying, really? I mean, did anybody see what they did against the Steelers? I mean, their pass block win rate in that game ranked 27th out of 32 teams last week. Now, look, I know T.J. Watt, he's a handful, and Pittsburgh can get after you pretty good. But there was no evidence of that. And they only blitzed like 15% of the time. It isn't like they blitzed a ton. I mean, they were winning the one-on-ones with their front four. That's what the Steelers did, and that's how they won the game. The Eagles, their problem was that they couldn't win those one-on-ones with their front four, and that's really where the problem lies. We talked after the Green Bay game about the lack of a pass rush from the edge, and I was trying to, you know, I was trying to, I don't want to say rationalize, but I was trying to say, well, listen, you know, it was a bad field, and maybe that had something to do with it. You know, I have to think that the pass rush is going to be better than that, and I think we can expect it to be better than that next Monday night. Well, okay, you're back here, you're playing on your home field, which you know is good, and the pass rush still was invisible. So, I mean, that's a real big problem. You got two real big problems on your defense. You got to find an edge rush. It absolutely has to happen. And especially this week, to John's point, going into New Orleans against a team that's running the ball maybe better than anybody in the NFL right now, you got to shore up the interior of your line. You got to shore up your run defense.
Now, well said. Ray Dininger with us here. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie. More with Ray in 1 minute. We're going to go through some of the specific defensive players. More with Ray in 1 minute's time. Hey, let me tell you about MHS Lift. You know, we're all hoping for a winner in town. Our football team, our baseball team, we'll see. October's coming up soon. Well, I know a winner for sure, and that's MHS Lift. The great team that's leading the way in the forklift industry in the Delaware Valley, Andy and Brett Levin, their squad at MHS Lift, an award-winning, nationally recognized material handling and equipment company that since 1970 has been offering everything that your warehouse needs, from forklifts and equipment rentals to racking solutions and warehouse optimization. MHS Lift does it all. And MHS Lift always puts the customer first, with over 100 service technicians on call. MHS Lift maintenance programs, they ensure your equipment runs smoothly, minimizing downtime, maximizing efficiency, and they've got a simple mission to provide the best equipment, service, and integrated solutions to keep your operations moving forward. Are you ready to elevate your business? Well, call MHS Lift and call them today at 888-MHS-LIFT. You can also go to their website, mhslift.com. That's mhslift.com. Well, Ray, let's get to some specific defenders. And we can only imagine, John, how Seth Joyner is going to answer these questions in 15 minutes. But, Ray, oh, boy, here we go. All right. Bryce Huff. Is he just not good, Ray?
I mean, two games, you don't want to write off that kind of investment after two games. But I was going to say I don't like what I've seen, but the fact is I haven't seen it. I haven't seen anything. I mean, that's the scary part, is that he has been he's been invisible. And the couple times that you did see him, I heard John say a couple minutes ago that, you know, that he was getting handled, and he was. There's no other way of describing it. And
we've seen weakness and ineptitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really a very good way of describing it, which is really troubling. And and what you were seeing last night in the little bit of limited exposure where you could actually kind of see him, where he actually shows up in the frame, which is hard to believe. I mean,
this
sometimes
is awful.
Sometimes he's not even in the frame. But I mean, not only was he giving you zero pass rush, which has now been true for two whole games, but on the occasion when he was on the field and they ran the ball, he is either utterly unwilling or utterly incapable of setting an edge. And right. I know that was kind of the scouting report on him coming out of the Jets. He had the big sack total last year, but he was no kind of a run defender. And whether it was he just wasn't good at it or he was unwilling to do the dirty work, I don't know. But the fact is he was a non-factor against the run. And then there were last night, I mean, a couple of the Bijan Robinson runs were because he just didn't set the edge. And so, I mean, that's, you know, that there's a that that's something you just can't live with. Now, I don't know when you went back and looked at him at the film from last year when it was the Jets and he had the big sack total. I will tell you that just about all of the sacks that he got was sheer speed, and yeah. He is very quick off the mark. He is very quick off the mark.
First and step was, is and, about. Like, that's the scouting report on Bryce Huff. First yes. step, explosiveness. And then
yes.
what else?
Well, but that's the problem. If he can beat you with the first step, he will beat you, okay? But if he can, in other words, if that tackle or whoever it is blocking engages him, gets contact with him, gets a body on him.
Trouble.
Then
Velcro.
His, right. Yeah. His technique, all the other things you have to do, either in terms of your moves or how you use your hands or just the strength to shed, all those other things that you need, that second phase of the pass rush is totally gone. He either wins with the first step or he doesn't win. And right now he's not winning.
All right, Ray, two final questions here for you. Same exact question, just different name. Nolan Smith, is he just not good enough?
Up to this point, my feeling has been I just don't know that he's gotten enough of a chance to show us what he is or what he isn't. Last week, I mean, again, on a bad field in Brazil, he got a lot of snaps and still didn't show up. You know, last night, I haven't had a chance to go back and look at the film, so I don't know how many snaps he got last night. But again, he's a non-factor.
Wow.
You know, I mean, and the fact is, I mean, right now you need somebody who's going to win for you on the edges, and you're not getting it from Huff. And there's going to be more and more opportunities. I know they don't want to overplay Brandon, but there's got to be more and more opportunities for Smith. He's got to show you something. But to this point, I can't tell you even as a guy who loved that Georgia defense and the guys that came from there, I was among the people celebrating when they drafted these guys. To this point, you need more, not just from him, but from all of them.
That's right. All right, Ray, final thing here. I'm curious your answer to our Twitter poll question of the day today, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, with it being truck season in Armin. Available 1.9% financing in an all-new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive to ArminChevy.com. Ray, which choice would you go with today's poll? Who do you blame most for last night's loss? A, coaching, meaning the coach is. B, defensive lineman. C, Saquon, obviously because of the drop. Or D, Howie Roseman, for his choices of who to assemble on the team. Who would you pick?
For now, I'd say defensive line. For now, I would go there. I mean, I think it's still a little bit too soon to judge Howie's roster building. You know, I mean, we could have a whole different conversation next Monday. I mean, they go down to New Orleans. Who goes? Maybe Bryce Huff goes down there and gets 3.5 sacks.
Sure.
I don't expect that. I don't, but it could happen. But to put it on the roster construction, week two, that's a little bit premature. Last night, you clearly can lay this on the defensive line because they didn't do the job against the run, and they certainly didn't get pass pressure. And the other thing was, just on the side, completely put aside, is how sloppy the team was in many respects. I mean, 9 penalties.
Totally.
You know, I mean, we're going to get all caught up in all the other things, which we should. I mean, it was that bad of a loss. But don't forget just how sloppy they were. I mean, those penalties hurt. And so those are all, I mean, this team has a lot of work to do and not a whole lot of time to do it.
That's right. Ray, we'll talk to you next Monday. Let's hope it's a 2-1 squad. Let's hope the Saints are 2-1, all right? 2-1 Eagles, 2-1 Saints next Monday. My fear is that's not going to be the case. We'll find out. Ray, stay well, buddy. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Ray.
All right, take care.
All right, there he is, the Diddy.